Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. It's on page 568 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 1. You can turn there, or you can. You're welcome to just listen along as I read. We're going to reflect a bit on Psalm 1 today, and we're also going to look at a number of other passages that speak to us about the importance of God's Word in our lives. Next week, we're going to resume with our series through Ephesians. I'll read the first three verses of chapter 1, and remember, this is God's Word which is able to make us wise to salvation. So let's listen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's the word of God. I read an essay just this week by a woman from the University of Kentucky who specialized in dairy cows and keeping them healthy and productive. And in this particular essay, she wrote that one of the essential ingredients for keeping your cow healthy and productive is making sure that they're chewing the cud for a big portion of the day. And cud is that partially digested food that a cow regurgitates and chews on a second and third and fourth time. We chew our food once. Animals like the cow chew their food again and again and again. Well, this woman said that a healthy cow spends almost 8 hours a day chewing the cud. Now, I haven't confirmed this with Bill, but hopefully he can confirm these things. She said that equates to about 30,000 chews a day. Chewing is a big part of a healthy cow's life. Cows that don't chew the cud enough produce less milk. They actually eat less. They are prone to serious digestive problems, and they can even become lame, she said. So you have to make sure that you feed your cow the right kind of food so that it chews it again and again and again. The cow that chews the cud, the cow that chews the cud is a happy, healthy, and productive cow. Well, as Christians, we're called to live in a similar way. A healthy cow chews the cud, but a happy, healthy, and productive Christian is one who chews regularly on the Word of God, who chews on the Word of God day and night. In Psalm 1, it says that the man is blessed who chews on the Word of God day and night. He's like a strong, healthy tree that bears fruit in season. And although we have the Word of God at our fingertips, we have Bibles on our shelves at home, Bibles in our pews, we are, by and large, a Bible-starved society, Bible-starved Christians. And because we're Bible-starved Christians and we don't chew on the Word of God regularly, we go through life a miserable, discouraged, depressed, spiritually weak and sick, distracted and unproductive for the kingdom. If we want to be happy, healthy, and productive Christians, we must chew on the Word of God day and night. As we enter this new year, it's often a time that we reflect on things that have happened in the past year, and also to make plans or to set goals for the year ahead. Well, as you think about the year ahead, think about how you can make this year a year of learning to chew on the Word of God. Chew on the Word of God throughout the day and even in the night, and you will grow into a happy, healthy, and productive Christian. One of the most amazing concepts, one of the most mind-blowing realities that we live in, is the fact that God has spoken to us. The eternal Creator, the one who sustains everything at all times, the one who holds the galaxies in their place, and also holds the nucleus of an atom together, he has spoken to you and to me. Back in 1997, there was a movie that came out called Contact. And it was a story of a brilliant scientist named Ellie Arroway, who spent her life carrying on the work of her father, searching for intelligent life in outer space. And sure enough, after many years, one evening, straining to hear any faint signal, signals from space, she finally hears the transmission. She gets the word out about this signal, and it's confirmed all over the world. And from that point, the whole world was fixated on trying to understand this signal, what's being communicated to them. And through this signal, there was transmitted some 60,000 pages of data. And Ellie and the rest of the world set out to decipher this message. We have to understand what's being communicated to us. And Ellie finally figures it out. It's this blueprint of what appears to be some sort of aircraft. And she sets out to build it. And once built, then, Ellie risks her life on this aircraft through which she's able to make contact with this alien life form. That's a movie, of course. But imagine if this really happened. If some alien life form sent a signal to us. Imagine how the whole world would be refocused. We would refocus our collective resources and our brain power to understand this message that's being sent to us, what's being communicated to us. It would fill up our newscasts, our conversations, our daily thoughts. We'd go to bed thinking about these things, waking up thinking about these things. The whole world would be focused on this message. Well, the mind-blowing reality that we live in right now is that God, this unexplainable being with unimaginable power and intelligence who fills the remotest corners of outer space, He speaks to you and to me every single day. Psalm 19 says that the whole world declares the glory of God. That everything we see, feel, touch, smell, and hear speaks to us about God. And that He has sent us a message, some 1,300 pages long, depending on your print, transmitting it to us over 1,600 years through 35 to 40 different people. That word called the Bible. And then He's also lived among us. And talked with us in His Son, Jesus Christ. God has spoken and He continues to speak. He speaks to you and me directly and personally. This is the earth-shattering, the mind-blowing, extraordinary reality that we live in. But yet, it doesn't hold our attention the way some signal from outer space would. The fact that God speaks is sort of this commonplace, ordinary thing that we live with, you know. It just doesn't hold our attention. It's like an old toy that's been ignored by the kids and so packed away into the attic. It's not magical. It isn't enchanting or in any way. Our Bibles collect dust. We walk through this world deaf to the words that it speaks to us about God. We explain away the majesty and grandeur of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that you and I need to understand in this new year is that God is speaking. God is speaking, and He's speaking to you. Are you listening? As you interact with this world around you and it screams at you about this powerful, creative, intelligent God, are you listening? Do you read and listen as He speaks to you through His Word, the Bible? And do you listen as He speaks to us in the flesh in Jesus Christ? The most incredible reality in our lives today is that God speaks to us. Are you listening? So the first thing we have to understand in this new year is that God speaks to us. The second thing we have to understand is that when He speaks, He tells us vitally important things. Vitally important things. As a human race, we have a long, long, long history of misunderstanding and misperceiving reality. For quite a long time, it was believed that the earth was flat and you could fall off the edge, and that the earth was the center of the universe and the sun really went around the earth. For a short period of time, we believed that lobotomies were the answer to all psychiatric problems. In fact, the inventor of the lobotomy was given a Nobel Prize for his innovative procedure. Or that infection was caused by bad air or an imbalance of fluids in the body rather than germs. And we could go on and on. We have a history of misperceiving reality. We don't understand it. Well, on our own, we still live with many misunderstandings. We don't understand reality, but God, who knows all things and who has the most accurate perception of everything because He created it all, He speaks to us to help us understand the reality that we live in. Psalm 19 again says that the Word of God makes us wise, helps us understand this world around us. Psalm 119 says the Word of God counsels us and guides us. We have many great misperceptions of who we are. Many great misperceptions of who God is. We come up with all kinds of theories about God, about ourselves, what's right, what's wrong. But God speaks to us and He speaks to correct our misperceptions, our misunderstandings, and to teach us what is real and what is good and what is satisfying. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that the Word of God is able to make us wise unto salvation. He tells us how we can be saved. Well, we don't even know that we need saved. Our perception of reality is so messed up that we don't even realize that we need saved. So in order to understand salvation, then we have to understand who we are, who God is, what sin is, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and that what He did on the cross there is important. And that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible helps us understand reality, the reality of this world, the purpose of our lives. He directs us to the things that bring real satisfaction and fulfillment, not the empty hollowness that's promised to us in this world. Only through His Word can we make sense of this world around us. Only through His Word can we understand the pain and misery of the world that we see in this world. Or only through His Word can we understand the struggles and trials that we go through. This book that we call the Bible answers the deepest questions. And at the same time is the most practical book that exists for everyday living. It contains everything we need to know for life. God not only speaks to us, but He tells us vitally important things. In the story, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, an enormous computer is built to answer this big question. What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything? And 7.5 million years later, the computer comes up with an entirely unhelpful answer, 42. Well, God has spoken to us. And He doesn't speak to us unhelpful, silly things. But He actually tells us the answer. The right perspective and understanding of life, the universe, and everything. We have it right here in this book. God has given it to us. We have everything we need for life. And yet we're more concerned with the outcome of the football game or our finances or the latest movie or video game or novel that came out. And the Word of God continues to collect dust on our shelves. God has spoken to you and to me to give us everything that we need for life and godliness. Are you listening? God is speaking important things. Are you listening? Now, if God has spoken and He's given you and me everything that we need to know for life, then the conclusion is that our lives ought to be saturated with what He says. God's Word needs to saturate our lives, our thoughts, our motivations, our words, our actions. Everything about us has to be saturated with the Word of God. There's a consistent command in Scripture where God urges us to have His Word embedded into our lives. In Deuteronomy 6, what's known as the Great Shema, God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." In short, impress them into your own hearts and into the hearts of your children. Let your life be saturated with the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 32:47, it was one of the last times that Moses spoke to the people of Israel before he died. And he said this. He said, "Take to heart all the words that I've solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life." These words are your life. We have to know them. At the beginning of the book of Joshua, as the people of God were going into the promised land, the Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God speaks to Joshua and he says, chew on the Word of God. Obey it. Listen to it. Let it be a part of your life day and night. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Job said, "I've treasured your words more than my daily bread." Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who meditates on the word of God day and night." Psalm 19, "The word of God is more precious than gold, sweeter than honey." Later, when Satan tempted him, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy and he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." God's word nourishes us better than our daily bread. More important than our daily bread. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And the word of Christ is not just the red letters in your Bible. It's the whole Bible. This is the word of Christ. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom." Again and again and again, God urges us and commands us to saturate our minds and our motivations, our actions, our entire lives with His word. His living and active word. I want to look now briefly at some of the blessings that come from having our minds and our hearts saturated with God's word. And we're going to look primarily at Psalm 1 for this. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers." This is a wonderful analogy of comparing the one who delights in and meditates on the Word of God to a happy, healthy, productive tree. First, this tree is blessed with happiness. The word for blessing that the psalm begins with can also be translated as happy or happiness. Happy is the one who delights and meditates on the law of God. Happy is that tree planted by streams of water. Well, how does that work? How does saturating our lives with the Word of God make us happy? Well, throughout our lives, we go through some degree or another of struggle. Whether it's something that has happened to you, no fault of yours, or it's something that you've done, all your fault. Struggles in your marriage, your work, your children. Struggles at home and your finances. Struggles that friends are going through. Or simply seeing this worldwide spread of wickedness, power struggle, disease, war, death, all kinds of turmoil. These things are not easy to deal with, so how can you be happy in the midst of things like this? Well, when you know the Word of God, you remember, you know the promises of God. And it's those promises that you can chew on throughout the day. And it's those promises, in those promises, where you find happiness and blessing and peace of mind and joy and hope, even in the midst of the hardest, darkest struggle. God promises that all things work together for our good, for the good of His church, for His glory. Even when it doesn't make sense, even the most heinous, wicked acts, and even our own wickedness, God somehow uses that in some way for good. Just like when Joseph, after his brother sold him into slavery, after he was unjustly thrown into prison, Joseph told his brothers, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Remembering God's promise brings great happiness. It doesn't make our life easy, but it gives us happiness in the midst of struggle. God controls all things, big and small, and that means He makes no accidents. He's always with us. His love endures forever. Nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Christ will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. There awaits for us an inheritance that makes our present struggles look very small and insignificant, slight and momentary. As these promises fill our minds, as we continually remind ourselves of these promises and chew on them throughout the day, they give us great happiness. The more you chew on the Word of God, the more happy you will be. This isn't a promise to the prosperous life, an easy life, but you will be most genuinely happy. Happy in God. So the tree planted by streams of water is blessed with happiness. It also was a tree that was blessed with health. It says that the leaves of this tree never withered. It was a strong tree rooted deeply, nourished by those streams of water. God uses His Word to make us healthy. Well, how does He do that? Through His Word, God reminds us who we are in Christ. He's given us new life. We're born again. We're brand new creatures adopted in the family of God. And by remembering who we are, we will live, the more we know who we are, the more consistent we will live with who we are. The more you know the Word of God, the more you know who you are in Christ, the more you will live consistently with who you are. Knowing who you are is essential for a healthy spiritual life. Also, the more we know and meditate on the Word of God, the better we are equipped to battle sin and temptation. The Word reminds us what is right and what is good. It reminds us that sin will never satisfy us, but will simply hollow us out and leave us empty, and it will incur the wrath of God. The Word reminds me that I am to follow God, and He will satisfy me. Psalm 119 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." As the word is hidden in our hearts, it helps us fight against temptation and the disease of sin. The word gives us a healthy perspective on life so that we're not overburdened or overwhelmed, anxious, worried, or stressed out. As we are reminded of the commands and the promises, we learn more to pray, to lift our concerns to God. And the more we trust Him with those concerns, the more we grow in our faith. The more you chew on the Word of God, the necessary byproduct of that through the work of the Spirit is spiritual health. God will bless you with spiritual health the more you chew on the Word of God. So the one who delights and meditates on the Word of God is happy, is healthy, and third, is productive. The tree planted by streams of water produced fruit in season. It was a fruitful tree. There are lots of things in the world that are a huge waste of time. We chase after this and that, pursuing the American dream, luxuries, comfort. But the more we chew on the Word of God, the more we're reminded of what is really important in life. To follow Jesus, to build His kingdom, to make disciples. If you have God's word in your heart, then we can remind ourselves throughout the day what's important. And that the things the world offers are empty. Having the word in our hearts focuses us on serving Christ and seeking His kingdom. And then when we're tempted to give up because we don't see fruit for our labor, we remember the promise that God promises that any work done in His name is not done in vain, but it always accomplishes its purpose. God promises that we will be productive. God blesses the one who delights in and meditates on the Word of God with happiness, health, and productivity. If you want to be a tree planted by streams, you must, and I must, we must meditate on the Word of God day and night. So last thing I want to think about is, how do we do this? How do we get God's Word hidden into our hearts? Well, it takes a lot of discipline. There are lots of things in this world that I'd like to do, but I don't do them because I don't have the commitment or the discipline that it takes to learn them, like learning a language or learning an instrument. I like the idea of it, but I'm not ready to commit to it. Oftentimes we have the same approach with the Word of God. I like the idea of having God's Word in my heart. I like the idea of being happy, healthy, and productive, but I'm not ready to make the commitment to put in the time to meditate on God's Word. Well, I urge you, and I urge myself, as we look at this year ahead, make this the year of commitment. To be a year of discipline, working on getting God's Word ingrained into our lives. Ingrained into our lives. And I want to suggest three things in how we can do this. The first thing is the thing that you're doing right now. You have to commit yourself to be under the faithful preaching of the Word, to hear the Word read and explained and applied. And God uses that to get His Word into our hearts and our souls to change us. So listen to the Word read and preached. And second, read the Word every day for yourself. This is one of the ongoing battles that you and I face in life. One of the constant battles in my own life. Not to just read the Word mindlessly, but to read it and chew on it and think about it and apply it. And go back to it throughout the day. Mindlessly reading the Word of God doesn't accomplish anything. But we need to read the Word, think about it, and meditate on it. So listen to the Word read and preached, read the Word on your own every day, and third and last, work on memorizing Scripture. We are very forgetful people, and we may hear the Word preached and read, we may read the Word every day in the morning, but when we're out in life interacting with people, we tend to forget quickly what we've read or what we've heard and what we've learned. And that leaves us empty throughout the day. We need a constant supply of God's Word that we can recall to mind and chew on throughout the day. What are the passages that God has used in your life? Get those into your mind, the promises, the commands, the hope, so that when you're discouraged or tempted or overwhelmed or you're distracted, you can recall to mind these passages that are hidden in your hearts. You can bring them up. You can chew on them and find nourishment and be reminded of what is good and right and true and noble. Be reminded of reality. So how can you hide God's Word in your heart? By listening to the Word preached, reading it every day, working on memorizing Scripture. We need to be doing that as individuals, as families, as communities. What is the commitment that you can make this year so that delighting in and meditating on the Word of God becomes more a part of your life? God has spoken to us. And He has told us very important things. And He's given us the answer to life and everything. And He urges us to saturate our lives with His Word. And in doing that, he promises to bless us with spiritual happiness, health, and productivity, all for the glory of God. The woman who wrote that essay about keeping dairy cows healthy and happy and productive focused on the importance of chewing the cud. She said that a healthy cow chews the cud nearly 8 hours a day. Well, for a Christian to be happy, healthy, and productive, we have to be chewing on the Word of God day and night. God is speaking. It's very important. Are you listening? Start now to discipline your life and saturate your life with His Word. And God will be glorified. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this, Your Word. Thank You that You haven't just left us on our own to figure things out on our own, but You've guided us. You speak to us in creation, in Your Word, and in Jesus Christ. We thank You for these great things. Let us be people who are saturated with Your Word. Let us as a community figure out how we together can be encouraging each other and having the Word ingrained into our lives. And as this happens, please make us happy, healthy, and productive for Your kingdom and for Your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.